near post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Good evening. Welcome to Capital Football's Half an Hour Radio Show. We're here once again for another week. Haven't been booted off air just yet. Obviously, those with the power is not listening to us. So here we are another week. It's the 22nd of July. It's wet and cold. It's a typical Canberra winter's evening. But in the studio today, it's always hot and warm. And we're joined once again by Russ Gibbs. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks, Chris. Glad to be here again, as always.
And as mentioned, we got a very special guest this evening, Louisa Mazzotto, Western Creek goalkeeper, joins us in the studio.
Thanks.
But before we kick things off, usually we'll take a look at the news headlines at the top of the hour. We have a chat with Louisa about everything with Club Pink Premier League and potential Women's National League. We take a look at all the action from the weekend. And if you've got any Canberra football stories you'd like to share with us, please email the show at media@capitalfootball.com.au. And you can catch the podcast on the blog at www.nearspot.blogspot.com. Nearpost.blogspot.com even. I'm sure that first one won't work, so don't go there. But I believe, Russ, you've got all the news headlines.
Certainly do, and we can start with the Canberra A-League Foundation memberships, which are now available. We need to get 5,000 members at $200 apiece. The launch was last Thursday. Senator Kate Lundy, Shadow Minister for Sport Brendan Smythe, and Capital Football President John Logue and CEO Heather Reid were there. There's branches of the Service One members banking branches available throughout the ACT, Australian National University, Belconnen, Civic, Deakin, Tuggeranong, University of Canberra, Woden, Calvary Hospital, the Canberra Hospital and Queanbeyan. Would encourage people to get there and sign up, Chris.
Look, there's no excuse. There's one everywhere. So there should be one just around the corner from wherever you are. Right now, obviously, they're close. They go in the morning. But Ivan Slavic just cannot, I guess, emphasize the importance of these foundation memberships. He needs all the financial support and community support he can get.
Everybody that's signed up now needs to, if they've got the funds, to step forward and become a part of it and show that we can talk about it, but we can't just talk about it, we can make it happen.
Exactly, and it's only $200, you know. Don't fill up the car for a week, walk somewhere, I don't know. It's not that much.
Couple bits of international news. The Qantas Joeys, who we dedicated the national show to just a moment ago, they won the Asian Under-16 Youth Championship after winning a 5-4 sudden-death penalty shootout against Bahrain in Jakarta on the weekend. Mark Warren's 83rd-minute goal levelling for the Qantas Joeys, who went on to win on penalties. And local guys Chris Bush and Ben Harrington were involved in the squad. Ben, unfortunately, didn't get on the field in the final, but Chris did, played for 77 minutes, and that's a super performance from the Under-16s.
Yeah, look, it's a great win. Any win in China, or anyone in Asia, is great, and you know, it's good to see the future of Australian football succeeding in Asia already and putting a stamp on the game.
Certainly is. And staying with the Asian game, the China have defeated the Qantas under-23s in Changchun. A goal 12 minutes from time from Zhao Ziri defeated the Qantas under-23s, for whom Nicola Topostani played. This is a build-up, obviously, to the Olympics, Chris. There's a fairly strong Qantas under-23s lineup. Where do you think they go from here?
Look, you can't take too much out of the game. China's going to be very strong, obviously, being host of the Olympics. This is something they've been working on for quite a while. We saw Australia quite strong when it came to the Olympics in Sydney. So the host nation is always going to be strong for their home Olympics. And I suppose you've just got to not get just too discouraged and step up the next week.
I mean, it's a good hit out for them, I suppose, to start with. And
absolutely,
they do follow up with another game this Thursday at the home stadium, Kobe, against the Japanese, which will be an interesting match. And preceding that game is the Matildas against Japan in a friendly match for the obviously, they didn't make the Olympics, but Japan, I believe, are there. Three Canberrans in the Matilda squad: Lydia Williams, the goalkeeper, Amy Chapman and Caitlin Munoz.
The three usuals continuing to shine on the international stage, which is great to see. But it just goes to show where the Matildas stand in on the national or the international scene these days. Getting friendlies all over the place is a great sign.
And speaking of those three, Chris, is there any further news you may be able to bring us on the Women's A-League bid?
Well, look, it's all rumour at the moment. Unfortunately, we don't hear any news until possibly next week. Word is coming from the FFA that all signs are looking good. If you're a Magic 8-Ball and you shook it, it would say signs pointing to yes. So it's things are very positive. As I said, we won't find out till next week, but the W League is looking like it's on the cards.
So this time next week, we could well be mentioning this quite a lot and having a long chat about it.
Well, this time next week, let's hope we have a half an hour show dedicated to the W League.
I think so.
But just one quick thing. The Canberra Times were reporting early in the week that we mentioned the A-League bid and the foundation memberships. Ivan Slavich also received great news with a potential consortium interested in providing a very, very generous sum of money for the bid. So that's great news to see that ball rolling there too.
Yeah, I mean, the more people that get on board this, the better it's going to be for the Canberra community and the Canberra football team as a whole. We've had a lot of response on the website. When Damon went out and about before the Central Coast Newcastle game, you may have heard it last week, he had a lot of positive responses from a wide cross-section of the Canberra football community. I think everybody's keen to get involved and, as we said moments ago, get down and sign up and get a membership.
And just finishing things off, junior youth and senior coaching courses are coming up in the next 3 months. So make sure you email coaching@capitalfootball.com.au or call Alex Butt on 6260-4000 if you want any information regarding those coaching courses even. But I believe that wraps up the news for this evening. It's been certainly an action-packed week, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I mean, and there's a lot of like international news going on there. Even though it's the build-up to the A-League and it hasn't kicked off yet, there's certainly never-ending amount of football.
No, never a dull moment in the world game, is there?
I'm Amy Chapman from the Matildas and you're listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM.
And I was mentioned at the top of the show, we're joined by a very special guest this evening. Louisa sits across the desk from us, looking all warm there.
Thanks, Chris.
But as mentioned, the potential Women's National League. Mm-hmm. You yourself, you're a former AIS goalkeeper, you now play in the Club Pink Premier League. Is this something that's of interest to you?
Definitely. It's been, I think, going on 3 years now since we've had a National League. And I think with all the preparation that the Academy's done through the AIS, building up the players, it'd be definitely something that I would be looking at. I haven't been there, you know, in sort of amongst all the elite athletes, but I think that I can get through it and hopefully give Lydia Williams a bit of a run. Keep her on her toes a little bit, I guess.
Now, is this something, I suppose, now you can, I guess, work towards? We're wrapping the Club Pink Premier League season up very quickly. There's about 5 rounds left. But will this provide a bit more motivation going towards the end of the season and into the finals, knowing that potentially there's something further?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm fully focused on what my team's doing with the Club Pink. Getting into the finals, obviously, is a big thing. But also for myself, performing well, training well, as much as I can try and get to training with work commitments is very difficult. However, it is a good preparation for me to start looking at the A-League. Sort of fine-tuning myself, my sort of skills that I've been lacking lately. But, yeah, definitely something to look forward to.
We've not really been lacking much in terms of keeping the ball out of the net there, Louisa. I understand you've had 8 clean sheets this season. And Western Creek, we've been talking about it a lot, only conceded 4 goals this year. What's the secret to the success?
There's no secret. I mean, I've said this many times before, you're only as good as the team you play with. And I'm very happy with the team that I'm playing with. The back line's extremely strong. We've got sort of a good balance there with Jenny holding up and taking charge of the back line. Me and Jenny have got a really good relationship. As far as she does her job, I do my job. I don't tell her how to do hers. She doesn't tell me how to do mine. We've never had a conflict. So as long as we keep the harmony there, and in the midfield, it's very strong as well with, you know, a couple of new players coming back, likes of Megan Keogh playing her first game on the weekend back from injury and a bit of a rest. Was just a great asset to the team, and we've got 2 young strikers up the front that are just putting away as many goals as they can whilst I'm keeping out as many goals as I can.
So you've never really had a confrontation between the back four at all this season, obviously. Only conceding 4 goals, there's never been a reason to, I suppose.
No, not at all. I'm extremely happy with how the back line's performing. Obviously, there are things that I see that I might not always agree with. Sometimes Jenny taking the ball through the midfield, trying to score herself a goal, but you know what? I'll back her completely. She seems to do the job extremely well.
I understand you were back in goal this year after playing up front last year yourself and bagging an absolute shedful. So if obviously if it's not working for you, fancy going up for corners or something?
Oh, sure, why not? I mean, if they can do it internationally, why can't I do it locally? But I think Mike, our coach, might have a few words to say about that. But depending on what the scoreline is, I might give it a whirl.
So you were in goal at the AIS and then you came back to play for Woden Valley and you went up front and then you went back in goal. Is that right?
No. Played for the AIS, moved back to Canberra, signed up with Western Creek. It's close.
Always have problems with Western Creek and Woden Valley.
Kind of, just start with W, so you can understand. Played a great season up front. It was an interesting time. I haven't played on the field for a while now. And then we lost our goalkeeper, unfortunately, after pre-season. She's now moved on to Bell West. And Mike approached me and goes, look, Louis, what would you like to do? And I was like, well, look, you're the coach. You make the decision. I'll play wherever you want me to. And he goes, well, I like you playing goals. I was like, okay. So I just do what I have to do, I suppose.
So the ultimate team player and sacrificing the chance to score a few goals to keep them out.
Something like that. But like I said, I mean, we've got two great strikers. We've got young Krista at the front, who I think is only 15, 16 years old, and she's pocketed a few herself. Plus, we've got Rachel as well that is doing a fabulous job with her speed, her skills and her strikes. So as long as they're doing their job scoring the goals, I'll do my job stopping them.
And you'd have thought, having only conceded 4 goals this season, having won 8 matches out of the 10 played so far, scoring a lot of goals at the other end, that you'd be cruising to the championship, but it's not so. You've got some competition up there.
Oh definitely. Canberra League is very always unpredictable. I was talking to Chris before that you can line up play, you can look at team sheets and go, yeah, that one there on paper looks like a stronger team, but when you come out on the park, it's a totally different story. You know, it's very hard to field a full-strength squad in a team that, or in a league that's being constantly just weathered by the weather, by the grounds, by injuries, things like that. It's hard to always perform at your peak. So in the end, you just do what you can with the best you've got.
Despite there only being 6 teams in the Club Pink Premier League, it does provide, certainly, for very exciting games. You've got the likes of, as you mentioned, Woden Valley, more than capable of upsetting. We saw ANU, who beat it, I suppose, the most informed team in the competition, Canberra City, on the weekend. You've got Belconnen, who can defeat anyone on their day, including you guys, who you guys suffered your first loss of the season to. Bell West, anyone can win, can't they?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's sometimes just the flick of a coin. Whoever can perform well on the day will perform well on the day. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you've got players that are injured or you've got a full-strength team. It just depends on the passion, how much you want it. And I think this season we've had a lot of changes in our team, a lot of people that haven't signed on with us again and a lot of people that have. So it's adapting to, you know, their strengths and weaknesses and trying to form a good team. And I think this year we've actually found a really good blend of players, both young and, you know, and our experienced players. So in using that, I think it's come together really, really well. And I think, you know, once again, like last year, we'll be in the finals. And hopefully this time we'll actually take home some silverware instead of watching another team take it away.
Now, you mentioned a few new girls in the teams. Where have they come from?
A couple of the players that we've actually gotten have come from other squads, such as Kate. She's come from ANU. We've got the likes of Krista, Regan and Claire that are young girls that have come from development squad that Mike's pushed through and gone, look, I think you guys have got some talent. I really like to see how you'd perform in a Premier League and brought them up. And to tell you the truth, they haven't disappointed. Obviously, their experience will build up as they get more games. But in saying that, they've over-exceeded their expectations. From my point of view, they're always surprising me, especially the young girls.
And a big game this weekend against Bell West. You're obviously looking forward to that one in the top of the table clash.
Yeah, that should be an interesting game. Hopefully the weather will play on our half and not rain again. but no, definitely, it's always a good game when we do play against Bell West. A lot of the girls are my friends. But in saying that, you know, what happens on the field just stays on the field, and we're very professional in that sense that, you know, the scoreline won't really reflect on anyone's friendship or anything like that unless we play badly, which won't happen.
I mean, there's only, like Chris was mentioning, only a few rounds left in the Club Pink Premier League, and we were looking at the table. On the weekend, it was a hard-fought match against Belconnen United, settled by a penalty, I believe. Mm-hmm. You've got Bell West this week. Chris was alluding to the fact that there's some really strong teams throughout the competition. But the fact that there is only six teams in there, do you find sometimes that familiarity can breed contempt and it gets a bit dull?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, it's hard to sort of have the mindset of, you know what, yeah, we beat them last time, we'll just beat them again, because on the day, you never know. It could be just, you know, a penalty that separates, you know, a nil or draw. It could be anything. You've just got to all take that in consideration and take every game one step at a time and every minute, you know, as it comes, instead of sort of going into the game going, yeah, we flogged them 7-0 the previous time we played them, but, you know, who's to say that they're not going to come back and beat us 1-0? And that puts us, you know, a bit of a damper on me, because that means I've conceded a goal and I don't want to do that anymore.
And we're talking to Louisa Marzotto, Western Creeks.
That's it.
Answer to Edwin van der Sar. What was your motivation when you first pulled on the gloves? Because obviously it's not the most glamorous position on the field, and, you know, when you're younger, everybody wants to go in goal. It's the position. Who wants to go in goal? All of the faces look to the ground. And, was your motivation?
Wow. Like I said, it was more, you know, like you said then, it was, you know, when someone asks who wants to go in goals, everyone sort of puts their head down, and I was kind of the first one to go, I'll give it a go. Let me jump around and wear the big gloves that don't fit and get all muddy and dirty, and, you know, mum and dad will take me home and wash my clothes. Now it's a little bit different. The motivation's more so on myself to go, okay, well, I've got to now prove to myself and my club that, you know, I am capable of doing the job, and I've set myself a target of not conceding any more than 10 goals in the season. And so I've already got to 4, and I think there's only 5 or 6 rounds to go. So I think I'm doing okay. But I'll be.
You were mentioning beforehand, you can remember every one of those goals, can't you?
I can. They're stenciled in my mind. And
they hurt.
I know, I wake up screaming sometimes. But no. As a goalkeeper, I mean, 4 goals is easier to remember than, you know, the, say, 20-odd goals that are conceded. So I do remember them all, and I play them over in my head when I go home and go, okay, well, I really should have done this a little bit better. I could have said this to the back line, organised them a lot quicker or positioned myself better. But at the end of the day, you take the good with the bad and you move on, because, I mean, a lot of young goalkeepers and even some professional goalkeepers tend to beat themselves around the head about it and go, well, oh, they don't let things go. They sort of focus on the negative that happened at that moment instead of going, okay, well, I've got 25 minutes to go. I'm going to make sure that 25 minutes is going to be an impressive 25 minutes, and I'm not going to make the same mistake again.
Now, Russ, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty good mindset for a potential Canberra Women's League player.
Yes, certainly is. I mean, as we've mentioned before, I mean, I think, you know, the versatility that Louisa could bring to the squad as well, having the opportunities to play up front as well,
exactly,
and the ability to score goals. When you're a coach of any side, having someone who can play at both ends of the park and do either job equally well has got to be a bonus. You'd obviously be happy to take a position anywhere on the field in that squad.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm playing, it doesn't matter what position I'm in. I'll give it anything a go. I mean, when I first started playing soccer, I was a defender, and I've kind of moved up into the midfield and then up into the forward line, and then they've thrown me back in goals and then out last season playing around on the field. So, I mean, I enjoy it.
And finally, just before we wrap up here, how important is having a National Women's League in Canberra? You mentioned the young girls coming into your side, stepping up into the Women's Premier League, and having a league such as this, another stepping stone and something they can strive towards.
Most definitely. I think it's extremely important. What I feel is that it's been lacking. There's been a big gap between playing in a development squad here in Canberra and then not having another, like you said, a stepping stone to make to the Matildas or the AIS squad. So there's a lot of young players, even myself at one stage, that were lost and were like, that's a really big step, and you're not sure what direction and the motivation, the mindset that you need to set for yourself to get there. It was a bit of a blur, but I think if this comes about and it works out for everyone, I think we're going to have a lot of new Matildas coming through. I mean, Dialogic has actually, well, she's retired, and that, you know, pays the way for other players, for potential more Canberrans, even then. We've only got 3, so let's see if we can get some more in there.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we hear plenty more about you in the coming few months. But again, thank you for joining us in the studio this week.
Very welcome.
And before we head on, after the break, we'll have a look at AIM. I'm not sure if anyone had a look at the blog this week, but AIM in very, how can you say it, confidently named the first Canberra A-League side. We'll tear that one to shreds in moments. And I believe he also caught up with Ned Zelick as well. But again, thank
you. Hi, I'm Sean Ongtong from the Newcastle Jets. You're listening to the Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM. Go the Jets.
As mentioned, Eamon did put his reputation on the line by naming a Canberra A-League side. It's he used a fair few Canberra-born players in there. We'll just quickly go through the lineup. In goals, you've got Cody Larkin, then Sam Munro, Josip Simenik, Nikolai Topol-Stanley, Luke Pilkington, Dane Milanovic. Oh, geez, tongue twister. Kasper Tafter, Sean Ongtong, Matthew Kemp, Taylor Beaton, Kofi Danning, and Adam Casey. Substitute, or potentially marquee players, Steve Malbronk, Deco, Adrian Mutu. What do you make of that, Russ?
Well, I know Damon's been away for a couple of weeks, and he's obviously got some time on his hands. But yeah, it's good to see quite a lot of homegrown youngsters, homegrown players in there. Cody Larkin, we know a lot about from local in goal from the O'Connor Knights. He's a quality keeper. Obviously, there's some big names in there like Joe Simenich, Luke Pilkington, who's been making a name for himself lately. And then it's an interesting squad. His choice of marquees would be something to look at. Steve Malbronk, Deco, Adrian Mutu. I'm not sure how old Deco will be in 2010, probably about 33. It's a possibility. He's named some coaches as well, possibly Tom Samani, Ray Junner, Ned Zelick, Miran Blyberg, Paul Ocon, Milan Ivanovic, again, the tongue twister, or some Dutch bloke, maybe Gusidink for a run there. It's enough to get people talking, I think, and if you agree or disagree with what Eamon's got to say, feel free to log on to the blog and check it out.
Please send your comments through. Cody Larkin in goal, very young fella. I think he's got a great potential ahead of him, though I think his age and just how young he is could have an impact. I think you can't look any further than if you're looking locally, the likes of, you know, Nathan Denham or Ben Chain with Bill Connan. Those are two goalkeepers who have proven themselves in the New South Wales Premier League and are very young, who'd be more than capable and I think more than willing to step up.
Well, as we found out with Louisa this evening, any successful team needs a good quality goalkeeper, a shot stopper that's going to keep the ball out of the net, concede as fewer goals as possible. You can build a team around a good goalkeeper. Cody's got a lot of potential. I tend to agree with what you're saying there, though. Nathan Denham, or probably one of the older guys, would have been a better choice.
Now, being a Tuggies man, you are, Russ, I think you'll agree with this one. Jeremy Butler as the supporters club leader.
Jeremy Butler, he's got a lot of potential, let's say, to lead the supporters club. He's vocal.
Never short of a voice, is he?
He certainly isn't. He's vocal. He leads the songs. He's passionate for the team. He's a very passionate Canberra football person. He was there when the Cosmos were playing every game. He would jump up and down in the wind and rain, singing his songs. There's a group of them, him and his fellow battalion members, they call them down at Tuggeranong, that have got the passion for the game and they really, really would want an A-League team and they'd sing for it.
Well, it looks like the ball's certainly rolling and so far, pretty good makeup. But I believe Eamon Flanagan caught up with Ned Zelick earlier on this week.
I'm joined now by Ned Zelick, former Socceroo and former Canberran. Ned, you've just heard recently of the news about a bid for a Canberra A-League team. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's just fantastic for football in Canberra that they're putting together a bid and hopefully a successful one. I mean, obviously, me, myself, growing up in Canberra, there's definitely a soft spot there for a team to come from Canberra, and I'll definitely do you know, anything I can to offer that bid my support. I mean, I've personally seen so many kids with so much potential in Canberra, but it's like there's you come to a stage where there's nowhere else to go, sort of thing, when they hit a certain age group. So now, hopefully, if that bid is successful, kids will have a big door open for them with regards to their future in football.
Certainly will, Ned. I mean, I think what's happening is players like Andrew Bernal, yourself, Andrew Young, Amy Taylor, Joe Simonich, Carl Valeri, we're getting a whole heap of high-profile footballers giving their support, and it really is a new time for football in Canberra.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I'll be doing anything I can to help with this bid. I mean, obviously, I've retired now and I'm living overseas. But I want to be back in Australia as often as possible. I definitely don't want to lose contact to Australia and especially Canberra as well, where I grew up and you know spent all my junior football years.
Who knows, Ned? Maybe in the future we'll see you coaching a Canberra team. You never know.
That's down the track. But yeah, I mean, like you said, you never know. I mean, it's football. You can never rule out anything, and. Definitely down the track we'll see what's possible.
Ned, just to take you back very briefly, if you had some of your finer memories from your days at Canberra Croatia, as it was then, what are some of your memories of playing in Canberra?
I mean, obviously, you know, they were great moments. I mean, all my junior years there with Canberra. But just the city itself, you know, I mean... I grew up there and did all of my schooling there, and I've still got so many friends there, and I just love coming back there, you know. I mean, obviously, I've still got family there, so... and for me, it's always a big buzz to come back to Canberra.
Yeah, it's fantastic to have your support, Ned. What are your immediate plans, you know, I suppose, work-wise? Will you be remaining in football?
Yes, definitely, and I've started doing some things with regards to player management since I've gotten back to Germany after I retired from football. So I've started doing a few things there. I would definitely like to set up a few football camps back in Australia, doing some junior development for kids. So I'm planning a few things with regards to that, and we'll see what comes of that. But you know, for me, the most important thing, like now after I'd retired from football, was spending a bit of time with my family. Obviously, you know, it wasn't a difficult time for them because of the fact that I was all over the place, pretty much everywhere in the whole world, and kind of missed seeing my kids grow up a little bit. But now, as I said, there's a few things that I'm planning and we'll see what comes of it.
Well, we wish you all the best, Ned, and hopefully we see this Canberra bid get over the line.
Yeah, again, that'd be fantastic, and let's get everyone we can to support this bid because it would be a massive thing for Canberra.
There you have it, Eamon Flanagan catching up with Ned Zelick, unveiling a potential Canberra coach there. But we're very quickly running out of time this evening. Make sure you get down to your Service One Members Banking branch to sign up for your A-League Foundation memberships. I believe 100 or so, or possibly 200, have already been sold, which is fantastic to see. But still a fair way to go, so please get out there and support local A-League. But before we wrap up, a big thank you to Louise again for joining us in the studio. Russ, thanks again for coming in this week.
No worries, Chris.
Big thank you to Eamon Flanagan, Simon, Capital Football, and everyone in post-production for their generous support. And remember, if you're going to the Near Post, get there first.
The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.